payment option. That is important to us to be able to offer that to our members.
Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative, delivering the cooperative difference.
This is where Montana talks.
Don in Great Falls.
I want to thank you for doing such a great job. You're my miniature Rush Limbaugh.
Well, I wish I were. I'm not even miniature that good.
Yes, you are.
There's a long shadow cast there.
You affect a lot of people in this country, my friend.
Well,
you just keep up the good work.
Get coverage for your pets with any auto policy from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage for cats and dogs included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, our friend Kelly has the BS Buzz, a nightly news publication in Glasgow, Montana, and this legislative update stood out to him. Every single Democrat in the Montana Senate voted against that. Why would Montana Democrats vote to continue favoring out-of-state corporations like Amazon over Montana businesses? I have no idea. You'll need to ask them. I think that was a note from Kyle Schmock, the communications and policy manager for the Montana majority Republicans in the state Senate and in the legislature. And he was talking about Senate Bill 124, a bill that I believe is authored by State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson, who joins us now. Senator Hertz, good to see you.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Montana. Yeah, I completely get puzzled sometimes as to what the Democrats want. When it comes to tax relief, of course, we did lower the top individual rate, and they complain we're getting tax cuts to the rich. And then I bring Senate Bill 124, which basically benefits Montana businesses, especially ones that operate multi-state. And actually, this bill actually does raise some taxes on basically the big out-of-state corporations like Amazon and others who come into our state and provides goods but have no employees or hardly any property here. And so that levels the playing field. So, I led at the beginning of the Senate, say, hey, you got a bill here that Senator Hertz is finally raising taxes on somebody, and they still couldn't vote for it. So it's just a lack of understanding in regards to tax policy with Democrats in Montana.
Well, or you were trying to tax their buddy Bezos, and if you're trying to tax their buddies that are with these massive out-of-state woke corporations, they don't want you taxing their buddies. But they'll complain if you try to lower taxes on people making $20,000 a year in Montana.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, their focus is on income redistribution. They want to take money from your neighbor and then give it to other individuals that they think they support their constituents. That's just not how it works. I'm a broad-based. Let's have taxes that are fair to everybody, and it helps move the Montana economy along.
Obviously, it's working. I mean, look at the whole conversation so far in this legislative session. Dominating it so far has been how much money are we going to be able to give back to the taxpayers or to invest in other areas because there is a massive surplus right now. After we cut taxes, after you cut taxes last legislative session, we got way more revenue.
Yeah, we do. And it's been a long term since Judy Martz was governor. Our top individual rate was 11.9%. We have consistently moved that down to now we want to be at 5.9%. We need to go lower. We need to be competitive with other states. But all along, we haven't hamstringed the Montana budget. We've done it responsible, and we'll continue to do it that way.
It's better for the people of Montana. It's better for working class folks. It's better for business, and magically, it's been better for revenue at the same time. Go figure.
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in the Reagan 80s, so I've seen it since I was a kid. It just makes sense. Rush Limbaugh, had the "See, I Told You So" book that laid it all out. But yet still, so many in the media and so many in the Democrat Party are in denial about how lower taxation, lower regulation benefits all.
Correct. And, taxpayers know how to spend their own money. They don't need to give it to the government to inflate budgets and spend it on things we really don't need.
If you had one or two bills that you wanted to throw out there, bill numbers for our listeners to contact their local legislators in support of, what would those bills be?
So, today, in fact, I have a bill in Senate taxation, Senate Bill 125. It deals with property taxes. Our property taxes are a concern to everyone across the state. What this bill is trying to do is prioritize what goes on in your local communities. Your local communities, I think our priority should be our schools, our safety, law enforcement, and our roads. Those take priority. What this bill does, it basically says everything else that you want to do in your community, whether it's your parks, whether it's open space, bonds, a swimming pool, you name it, we don't necessarily need those to function in our cities. But so those bills can only last for 6 years. So every 6 years, you'll get an attempt to re-vote on those levies, because right now there's a lot of levy fatigue out there. In fact, you just saw it in Missoula when they actually put down a couple of levies down there.
And they used to pass every tax increase that got put before the voters. They would pass almost every one in Missoula, and even they're getting tired of it because of the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation that's eating folks' lunch out there right now. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Senator Hertz, great to see you. Thanks for stepping up to the microphone.
You bet. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks,
right.
Montana.
Yeah, great to see you. Our coverage here sponsored by the Frontier Institute. 2 days of coverage live from the Capitol. Next up on the microphones, Representative Amy Regeer out of Kalispell. Representative Regeer, great to see you. We've got 1 minute before our break, and then we can talk more after that if you've got time. But I'll tell you what, you did an incredible job yesterday before the House Judiciary Committee, talking about House Bill 303. What do you want our listeners to know about House Bill 303?
Good morning, Aaron. Yes, House Bill 303, it's the Medical Rights of Conscience Bill, or Med Act, and it essentially protects healthcare workers to conscientiously object to healthcare procedures that violate their conscience.
So basically, and this is huge, because on Friday's show, and I didn't even know that there was a hearing scheduled on your legislation. I didn't even know the bill number or anything, but, you know, we were talking about this radical transgender agenda that the Montana Democrats have fully embraced now, where they want the ability to chop body parts off of kids. Well, what if you're a nurse or a doctor who says, whoa, 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 I am not doing that to a child? I'm not going to permanently sterilize a kid. And so you're trying to protect medical professionals from being forced into that tragic situation.
Exactly, Aaron. Yep. We have been given so much privilege in this country with our medical procedures, and with that comes a ton of responsibility, and there's all kinds of things that we can do that border on violating conscience. And yes, taking healthy body parts off of children is something that violates a lot of people's conscience.
It's outrageous. And I
ThompsonPools.com. Remember, if it isn't a Thompson Pool, it ain't worth a dip. Thompson Pools.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
The deadline to respond to the 2022 Census of Agriculture is next week. USDA's National Ag Statistics Service says farms and ranchers must respond by February 6th online or through the mail. Last month, NAS mailed the Census of Ag questionnaires to every known ag producer in the United States. Conducted just once every 5 years, the Ag Census provides a complete account of the nation's farms and ranches and the people who operate them. Responding to the Census of Agriculture is required by federal law, and law requires NAS to keep all individual operations information confidential, use the data for statistical purposes only, and publish the data in aggregate form to prevent disclosing the identity of any individual producer or farm operation. Producers can respond online at agcounts.usda.gov. In other news, leaders of the Senate Agriculture Committee are urging the U.S. Trade Representative to hold Canada accountable under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement. Senators Debbie Stabenow, a Michigan Democrat, and John Bozeman, an Arkansas Republican, say Canada is obligated under the trade agreement to provide market access to American dairy farmers. Despite numerous rounds of consultation and an initial dispute settlement panel ruling in January 2022, Canada continues to reserve parts of its tariff rate quota allocations for domestic producers, undermining importers' market access from here in the United States. I'm Lane Nordland.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here, live from the Montana Capitol, Montana Talks. We've got the microphones open here all morning long. But, yeah, the big topic that we covered yesterday with Jeff Laslofi from the Montana Family Foundation, he gave a great update for us on several pieces of legislation. But one of the things he talked about was House Bill 303. And basically what this bill does is says, okay, and I know we've got thousands of healthcare workers probably listening right now. I mean, you just look at billings alone.
alone and the two major hospitals that are there, all these other health clinics. Well, what if you're a nurse, a doctor, or a technician? You're somebody who assists in a surgery, and they bring in some little kid, and they want to chop off a healthy body part off of a kid that could permanently change this kid's life, sterilize a kid, and you're saying, whoa, I'm not going to take part in something like this. They want to force you to do this, and we saw this out of Vanderbilt. Not only did we see this out of Vanderbilt, as Matt Walsh with the Daily Wire exposed, but we can now see it in the testimony of some of these radical left-wing groups here in the Montana legislature, that they want the ability to perform these procedures, and they don't want you, nurses or doctors or others, to be able to say no. It's absolutely shocking. It's absolutely outrageous. Representative Amy Regeer out of Kalispell, what was the most interesting back and forth from your perspective during that Judiciary Committee hearing on your bill yesterday?
You know, Aaron, I would have to say just how the left really has spun this narrative that we're trying to discriminate against a person or a certain class of people. They're making it about the LGBTQ issue. This bill is directed at procedures. It's not about any person. We won't deny service. There's emergency protections written into the bill that you will not deny service to someone who's in need of medical treatment, emergency medical treatment. And they're trying to make it about this woke left agenda.
Yeah. And what's interesting to me is they're out there trying to make it sound like, oh, you're going to ban gender-affirming care. You're going to ban care for kids that maybe have gender dysphoria, if I'm using the right term. No, it doesn't ban care. It simply says you can't do these certain types of procedures. You are not going to remove body parts off of healthy kids. They're too young. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you can't do to children. You can't sell them alcohol. You can't sell them cigarettes. There's all sorts of procedures that kids can't get, even if their parents take them into the store, to do it, right? But yet they're saying, well, you're trying to ban all gender-affirming care. No, we're just saying you can't do these certain procedures. But what you're saying is let's also protect the medical professionals if they try to get forced to do this.
Correct, yes. Just to be able to say I do not want to participate in a certain procedure, whether it is transgender procedures, whether it's abortion procedures. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that we have the capabilities of doing now. Gene editing. The list goes on. And just to be able to protect a healthcare worker's right to say, no, I consciously will not perform a specific procedure, and be protected, to not lose your job, to not lose your pay, to not lose your status of where you're at in your job.
If doctors or nurses or other healthcare workers who are listening to this show are willing to speak out in support of your bill, how powerful is that when they actually step forward and speak out, whether anonymously in testimony or actually publicly putting their name and face behind it?
I think it's very important. In committee yesterday, I would say the opposition outweighed the proponents at least 2-1. They're a very loud voice. They email a lot. That's the opposition emails a lot, and some legislators listen to that. Speak out the truth.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you get a bunch of form letter emails from some special interest group in Missoula, and you get intimidated by that. Go out and actually talk to people. Go talk to the real people. You did that when you ran for office, so you know who sent you here and why they sent you here. So don't get intimidated by some spam emails or postcards from some special interest group in Missoula. It's sad that we got to remind some people of that.
Yep, you're exactly right, Aaron.
All right, Representative Amy Regeer, hey, you're one of three family members serving in the legislature. We caught up with your dad, Senator Keith Regeer, yesterday. Your brother is the Speaker of the House. I got a chance to meet your mom, Jolene, though, and I think she's the real brains behind the whole of a family operation, though. She's the mastermind of it all, I think.
I'm glad you picked up on that, Aaron.
Well, great to see you. Thanks for taking some time out with us here this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Quick break here. Well, actually, not a break. We'll get your Fox News update in, and then in less than 90 seconds, Representative Bill Mercer just walked in. Not only is he a representative in the state legislature, he's also a former U.S. attorney, and so brings a great legal insight and perspective to the legislature as well. He's also one of the key authors of the legislation to try to give you some of your money back that the state has over-collected. So we'll talk with Representative Bill Mercer here, 60 seconds.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. House Republicans plan to vote today on a bill ending coronavirus pandemic emergency measures. The Biden administration wants a few more weeks. Fox's Alexandria Hoff.
The White House now saying it will end two national COVID emergencies, stating the administration's plan is to extend the emergency declarations to May 11th and then end both emergencies on that date. This wind down would align with the administration's previous commitments to give at least 60 days notice prior to the termination of the PHE.
PHE for public health emergency. Ukraine's president's asking for fighter jets to help fight the Russian invasion.
When President Biden was asked Monday,
the United States provides
assistance
to Ukraine.
No. Russian officials have said supplying Ukraine with advanced weapons constitutes direct involvement.
Fox's Jill Nato. Former President Trump is suing journalist Bob Woodward for $50 million for using their interview recordings in an audio book. Woodward and his publisher call the suit without merit. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, let's jump right into it. You know, we've been talking a lot about tax relief, tax rebates, and the positive action that took place in the state Senate this past Friday. They expect the legislation to maybe hit the floor by Wednesday, by tomorrow, in the state House as well. But we'll get the latest on that. Before we talk tax rebates, though, Representative Bill Mercer, you were saying you also want to talk about your Janus implementation bill. What's the Janus implementation bill all about? Because this is key.
Thanks, Aaron. No, it's great to see you and Helena. I tried this in 2021 and didn't get it across the line. Janus is a U.S. Supreme Court opinion that has really not been fully implemented in the state of Montana. And the way people should think about that is Janus stands for the proposition that if you are a public sector worker, whether you're working for a county, a city, or the state of Montana, you have a right to associate with the union, but you also have a right to not associate with the union. In other words, you can be a government worker and you are not required to pay union dues. If you want to, there's no prohibition. But the Janus implementation bill that I've been carrying would require that every government employer tell their employee, hey, we're your employer and we're telling you that you have a constitutional right to join or not to join. It's your choice. But if you want to join, we want you to sign this form acknowledging that you understand your rights before we're going to withhold anything from your paycheck. And both in 2021 and 2023, every union in the state comes in here and says the world is going to come to an end. This is unfair. And it's maddening to me because we know that Janus isn't being implemented because there are, I think, at least 20 contracts, maybe 30 contracts in the state of Montana that don't reflect that, that reflect that a person who's a government employee needs to become a member of the union.
So this only deals with state government. It doesn't force anything on a private sector employee. This typically says state government, you will inform public employees what their rights are here. That seems pretty straightforward.
Super straightforward. And it that's right. It has nothing to do with a private sector union. It has nothing to do with a person who is in a union in a private sector. It also doesn't have any preclusive effect on someone who's a government worker and said, hey, I want to be a member of the union and I want you to take money out of my paycheck and give it to the union as long as you sign the form. We're simply trying to say we've got a new Supreme Court decision, and it's clear that people don't understand what it requires based upon what's in various collective bargaining agreements that have been entered into the state of Montana since Janus.
Well, and the union that represents the state government employees is an absolute train wreck. It's a Democrat front group. They are not representing. They actually lobbied against their own teachers. When the largest teachers union in the state was against mask mandates in their schools, the state MFPE lobbied against the teachers. They were using their own union dues against them. Anyway, we'll talk more with Representative Bill Mercer right after this, and then we've got Senator Tom McGilvery waiting in the wings as well.
This is Where Montana Talks. Call Aaron on the Parsec Data Management phone lines, 406-294-0970. Parsec Data Management, securing critical business IT. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I had to laugh here with Representative Bill Mercer during the break, because you guys might remember this. The Yellowstone County employees almost went on strike, and they were negotiating a new agreement with Yellowstone County to, you know, boost pay, et cetera, for Yellowstone County employees. And it was clear to me that the Yellowstone County employees, they were the ones fighting for to make their case. MFPE, the Democrat front group union, public employees union out of Helena, was nowhere to be found, did nothing during that debate. But, oh, when the Yellowstone County employees did the work at the local level to get a new agreement, now here comes in Amanda Curtis, the socialist Democrat former legislator who lost a Senate race. Now she comes in. Oh, look at what I did. I won this. No, you didn't. I mean, get out of here. It's just, you just got to laugh at this, don't you, Bill? Representative Bill Mercer?
Yeah, it has been very frustrating, because I heard yesterday your description of how the Capitol, let me say it this way. We see very few people who are taxpayers coming into the Appropriations Committee and saying, hey, you know what? Don't spend that $1 million on that program, because if you bank it, we can get more tax relief out to the people. We don't see that kind of John and Jane Q. public. What we see tend to be people with vested interests who are coming in to either advance those or protect them. But it's always a kind of coalition in the case of something like the union bill. And I'm not saying that those people's views aren't significant, but the people who want this bill, who are public employees, they're doing their jobs. They didn't have time to come over here. And yet I had probably 25 union leaders, all of whom from their respective unions, even if their unions have virtually no public sector employees, we're here to say this bill is terrible.
Yeah.
When
you're doing is saying, hey, here's your rights as a public employee. Yeah. You don't have to do it. Yeah, and I saw the firefighters union guy earlier, and a great guy. And, yeah, one word I'll pass to them is, guys, the MFPE is not your friend. They make all unions look bad. Ditch the MFPE, because they're just – and actually, you shared a press release with me.
Yeah.
There's now numbers out that show that over 99.7% of MFPE contributions go to Democrats. They're a Democrat front group, plain and simple.
Fresh press release. I mean, just came out this morning. There's a group called the Freedom Foundation that has come in to help support this effort. I'd never heard of them before a month or so ago, and they have provided some really useful data. They are the ones that unearthed the fact that there are a number of contracts between local governments and workers that do not comport with Janus. And then they just came out with this report. They went in and looked at all the campaign finance reporting data, which shows that 99.7% of the contributions from the MFPE in Montana went to Democrats.
Yeah. Tax rebates, tax relief. I know you authored one of the bills in the House. Based on what's moving through the Senate and what may be on the floor of the House this week, is the tax rebates and tax relief plan pretty much in line with what you've been hoping for?
Yeah, I think in some respects it's going to sound familiar to your viewers, your listeners, because we've talked about this when we were trying to promote these ideas for the special session. And I know you're going to talk to Senator McGilvery in a minute. He's been very involved in this as well. We were active. There were the Speaker Regeer, Senator Hurt, Senator Bartel, Representative Vinton. We were all very active in the summer and the fall trying to get a special session to try to do two things, try to get rebates about about 900 million back to taxpayers through two different mechanisms, looking first at people that had primary residences. They were going to be eligible for up to $1,000 under our plan, and then people that had individual income tax liability in tax year 21. We, on your show earlier, we explained we were trying to get $1,250 out to single filers, $2,500 out to joint filers, and that's really where we finally are now. It's going to actually end up costing us a little bit less to do that $1,250, $2,500. It's only going to cost $480 million. We thought it was going to be higher than that, but DOR has come in and said no. So we're super excited.
And the surplus has grown even larger since we spoke last summer about this proposed plan. So basically, if I hear you right, then the plan that's moving forward is exactly what you and other Republican lawmakers were hoping for last summer. That's great to hear.
The mechanism on the property tax is different. Instead of being a $1,000 one-time rebate, it would be split $500 over 2 years. But otherwise, yeah, it's a package that we hope is going to continue to move forward, get to the governor's desk, get his signature, and quite frankly, get a lot of this surplus that is there because people overpaid what the state's needs were. Instead of spending it on new programs, we're trying to get it out of the Treasury and back out to the people.
I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, because of the Biden tester inflation, Montanans are losing their lunch over inflation, so let's get a little more money in their pocket. It's their money in the first place. Representative Mercer, great to see you. Thanks for taking some time out this morning.
Thank you, Aaron. Good to see you.
All right, good to see you as well. Now joining us, State Senator Tom McGilvery, the Majority Whip out of Billings. Senator McGilvery, always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron, for having me on this morning. It's great to see you here in the Capitol.
Yeah, well, this is incredible. You forget how beautiful of a Montana Capitol we truly have, and just looking at the backdrop behind you right now, it's very humbling to be here.
It's just an amazing building with tremendous history, and it's a joy to be here every day.
Yeah. What are some of the main – so you got a few notes scribbled there. What are some of the main
pieces? Yeah, I got a few Senate bills that are coming down here. One of these bills, Senate Bill 73, is actually a good governance bill that the Legislative Audit Committee brought out. What it does, Aaron, is it essentially requires the agencies of government, the departments of government, to give the auditor information when he asks for it. The Legislative Audit Committee is the only constitutional committee in the Constitution. It's the only committee here that the Constitution said, you got to do this. Because the auditor examines the books of every department. They make sure that they're spending the money appropriately. They make sure there's no graft, fraud, or waste. They make sure they're following the laws that the legislature passes. And when you're asking an agency for information and they're not giving it, they're obfuscating or delaying or dragging their feet or looking for excuses. That information becomes stale and old. It's no good to the auditor, and they can't effectively audit. So this bill puts teeth in the audit bill and says that it's official misconduct if a department head won't give out that information.
Interesting. Well, in case in point, I don't know if this would fall into this category, but when COVID was, we were in the thick of COVID-19 and daily reports were being discussed about hospital beds, I asked the question, well, how many hospital beds did we have 10 years ago and how many hospital beds do we have today? Because we know what a train wreck Obamacare has cost our hospitals.
Yeah.
Nobody could give me that data. I would hope that if a legislative committee is asking for that data, they could say...
No, that's just it. The legislature has the responsibility to make sure state government's operating efficiently. And if you can't get information, you can't confirm that. And frankly, legislative audit has found many things that improve the agencies, make them better, more efficient, and ultimately the taxpayer dollars used effectively.
Yeah. What are two other key pieces of legislation?
Yeah, I got Senate Bill 112, which I think everybody will love, because what it does, and this is passed the Senate now and going to the House... But it says that pharmacists can prescribe in certain instances. You've all had the experience where you have strep. You know you've got a strep or something like that. And you go to the doctor. You pay $300 or whatever it is to go there. He tells you what you already know. And then you go to the pharmacist and pick that up. So these small things like UTI or strep or flu go straight to the pharmacist. They can do a quick, simple test, determine that you have what you have, and give you some... medicine for
instead
that.
Of having to go to a doctor's visit, rack up more medical costs that way, then have to go to the pharmacist, just streamline the whole process for
this
stuff.
And this is especially important for rural communities because there are 17 counties in Montana that you don't even have a doctor. So,
but you've got a pharmacist, or you can go see them a lot more easily.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you're not driving 300 miles back and forth to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
When these are simple things that can be taken care of by a pharmacist.
And then you could get the refill through the mail if you need to, too.
Well, Idaho has done this for years now and had tremendous success. And so we're just basically modeling some legislation after Idaho. You know, the Frontier Foundation has been behind this, Kendall Cotton and others. So it's been a good bill, and I think a lot of people would be really happy to save some time, money, and effort.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to talk with Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute, here later today. Of course, all this coverage brought to you thanks to the sponsorship of the Frontier Institute. Was there one other bill you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, you got SJ2. That's Senate Joint Resolution 2, the Convention of States resolution that's coming on the floor today. And for those who don't know, that's under Article 5 of the United States Constitution. The states can weigh in when the federal government is dysfunctional. And if anything the federal government is, it is dysfunctional. When I started working on this effort 2 years ago, we had $27 trillion of debt. Now we're pushing $32 trillion. So nearly $5 trillion of debt has gone on, and this is going to bring some fiscal responsibility to Congress.
I know Mark Levin's a big backer of the Convention of States idea. So, yeah, this is on the floor today, so that'll be a big debate. How many Republican senators would you say are... Oh, you know what? We're almost out of time. We've got to take a quick break. I'll throw the question at you during the break here. And then we've got State Senator Shelley Vance out of Bozeman coming up after this as well.
Fox News commentary.
Let's be clear. What happened to Tyre Nichols at the hands of five Memphis officers was wrong, but that does not give anyone the right to assault or attack innocent officers or destroy property. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. There is always someone doing something stupid somewhere. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Join me, Jason Chaffetz, every Wednesday as I shed light on the news and make some predictions along the way. You never know who will drop in. Subscribe now on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
If you've seen the body cam footage of the deadly Tyre Nichols traffic stop, you know it's disturbing, and what those five Memphis officers did was wrong and not police protocol. They have been swiftly charged with second-degree murder, and they will be held accountable in the court of law. What they did does not give anyone license to attack innocent officers, riot, or destroy property like we saw in a handful of cities over the weekend. Good cops loathe bad cops more than any other group of people, so to attack innocent officers over the offenses of those five Memphis officers is wrong. Furthermore, if you're causing damage and wreaking havoc in a city outside of Memphis, in a state outside of Tennessee, you are not doing it for Tyre. You are doing it because you think you have an excuse to act a fool.
Member FDIC.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I know we've only got a few minutes left here before a hearing starts at 8 a.m., and both of the state senators in front of us have to rush to that hearing here in just a few minutes. So before I get to State Senator Shelley Vance out of Gallatin County, Senator Tom McGilvery, I'll throw the microphone back to you. Anything you want to tell folks across the state?
I was saying, Aaron, federal government's now pushing $32 trillion of debt, $277 trillion of unfunded liabilities, another $12 trillion of debt that they're guaranteeing for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, et cetera. So ultimately, the President Biden's budget shows that we'll be paying about $1.1 trillion of interest per year by 2032, and that's before interest rates went up. You cannot provide for the common defense. You cannot promote the general welfare. You cannot do these types of things that our Constitution allows us to do if you're spending all your money on interest. It'll lead to stagnation, inflation, taxation, or all three together. It's a disaster for the U.S. economy. So this resolution seeks to address these by forcing Congress to discipline itself, like President Reagan said. Now, Congress will never discipline itself. You got to rely on the states to force Congress to act on our amendment. He was talking about a balanced budget amendment. And he said, fortunately, the nation's founders gave us a means to amend the Constitution through the action of state legislators. So that's what we're trying to do. The legislature is the last bastion of hope for this country, and that's the case I'll be making today on the floor.
Well, I truly think that our national debt is our greatest national security threat. It's the greatest threat facing this country right now, and you and I talked about it during the break. When we're spending more money to service our debt than we are spending on our military, on our national defense, we've got a massive threat there. Senator McGilvery.
There's massive cracks in the foundation.
That's right. Thanks so much for joining us. Yep. Great to see you. All right. State Senator Shelley Vance out of Gallatin County, and first, great to see you, and also great to see former Senator Gordy Vance here with you as well. I hope he's carrying your bags for you or something here while he's at the legislature.
Well, I'll tell you, Aaron, what he did do for me is he bought me a spinner, so I can I can at least go that way. But it's our slogan from our county has always been Vote Vance. It's 2-for-1, and there you go.
That's right.
We just switched places.
Yeah. So. What are some of your priorities? What do you want to tell people about?
Well, I'll tell you, my biggest number one priority, Aaron, is election integrity, and I'm carrying Senate Bill 117. It is a bill that is going to prohibit private money from paying for elections. We had that situation in 2020, so this bill, it keeps Montanans in control of their elections. So, It's 100 years ago, Montana dealt with the Copper Kings. And we had a situation where it's like, no, we're not gonna let a few people take over and try to control things. So this is a good bill for Montanans. I'm just really excited about it. I'm hoping it's on the floor next week, so in the Senate floor.
And what's the bill number there again?
Senate Bill 117.
All right, SB 117.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you pretty happy with what's been done in the legislature so far? I mean, so much got done in the last legislative session.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, it was all this work that Republicans had gotten across the legislative finish line for 16 years, constantly met the Democrat governor veto pen. But now with the Republican governor, a lot of work out last session, so now it's a lot of work moving the ball forward.
Well, I think that's exactly what it is. It's like, we're just working hard trying to – I'm in Section D, law enforcement and Department of Corrections, a financial committee. And that has been a great learning curve for me. I've really, really enjoyed it. But there's some big struggles there. I mean, we've got a state prison that's, you know – part of it's not doing so good here, so with its infrastructure and things like that. So there's going to be a lot of conversations about, financially, what can we do here? But we definitely don't want to lose sight that there's a huge surplus that came from our taxpayers, and a lot of that money needs to go back.
And public safety is a big concern.
Exactly.
And we've got too many criminals that keep them put back out on the streets. And we need to just, some of these criminals just need to be locked up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the hearing you're actually headed to right now.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
But thank you so much. It's great to have you up here.
It's great to be here. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Don't be shy. You can call us on the Montana Talks app. It's that simple. If you got something you want to sound off on,
I will
give us a ring. Okay,
okay,
great.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, quick break. We'll get your national news update in, and then we'll see who joins us at the microphone next.